The Senate will order the arrest of former presidential advisor Michael Yang for snubbing its probe into government's pandemic response deals. Metro Manila Development Authority says the shift to granular lockdowns does not automatically mean looser COVID-19 restrictions. Parts of eastern Visayas and the Bicol region flooded due to Typhoon Jolina. Philippine inflation accelerates to 4.9% in August. And some lawmakers want the Okta Research Group to stop releasing COVID-19 related analyses until it makes public the source of its funding. We'll discuss that with the chairman of the House Committee on Good Government and Public Accountability, Congressman Michael Aglipay. Hi, I'm Camino Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. The Philippine Senate will issue an arrest warrant for Michael Yang, a former advisor of President Rodrigo Duterte. We're going to start with that story. Yang was cited in contempt for being a no-show in today's resumption of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee's hearing into government's pandemic spending. This despite the issuance of subpoenas to him. Yang has ties to Farmily Pharmaceutical, which bagged some 8 billion pesos worth of medical supply deals with the Philippine government last year.
The motion to cite for contempt, that is the parliament's central situation. It has already been approved. There are no objections. And the process should start to make sure that a warrant of arrest is issued and that the USAA be asked to formally serve it and to all law enforcement authorities that they be made aware that there is such a warrant of arrest issued by the Senate of the Republic of the Philippines, part of a co-equal branch of government.
Also during the hearing, formerly chairman Wang Suyen addressed allegations he's wanted in Taiwan for stock manipulation.
You were aware of it since March?
Yes, and I've been waiting for the formal subpoena to be issued to me in relation to this, and I have not received any.
And you didn't think it appropriate to have somebody contact the Taiwanese government?
Yes, I did. I've employed Drew and Napier, LLC of Singapore, to contact the Taiwanese authorities. And as of today, I have not received any replies from the Taiwanese authorities.
The panel will also issue arrest warrants against several formerly officials who failed to attend today's hearing. House Deputy Speaker Rufus Rodriguez says the Health Department has committed to no longer have the Budget Department's procurement service buy personal protective equipment on its behalf. Health officials had transferred 42 billion pesos to the Budget Department without the necessary paperwork. The DOH still has until September 27 to explain suspected anomalies in this particular spending. Rodriguez adds the Commission on Audit is investigating government transactions with formerly Pharmaceuticals and will come out with a report in a month's time.
Once there is a law in a special budget like the Bayanihan 1 or 2 or the GAA, and specifically it gives it to the agency is bound to be the one because they are the ones responsible for the fund. Now, there can be no charges filed yet because the COA, they are still determining whether there are really violations of the law of rules and regulations in regard to the 67 billion, including the 42 billion transferred to PSDBM.
The Philippines sets a new daily COVID-19 case record. The country recorded 22,415 new infections Monday. That's the highest for the country since the pandemic began. This brings the nationwide total to 2.1 million. The occupancy rates at intensive care units across the country also at a record high of 76%. COVID-19 infections are expected to rise further as the more transmissible Delta variant is now present in every region of the Philippines. Five of the 279 new Delta infections are from the Bangsamoro region. It was previously the only region without any case of that strain. The number of confirmed Delta variant cases in the country now stands at 2,068. The detection of more Delta variant carriers comes as the Philippines lifts the travel restrictions it imposed on several regions. The Metro Manila Development Authority clarifies the shift to granular lockdowns does not mean looser COVID-19 restrictions. The National Capital Region will transition to general community quarantine from September 8th until the end of the month. Government wants to test out granular lockdowns that will include an alert level system. Under Alert Level 1, all establishments will be open at 100% capacity. Measures get tighter as the alert level goes up, with a full lockdown at Alert Level 4. The capital region, or the national capital region, currently under the highest level except for the city of Manila. According to MMDA Chief Benher Abalos, this is equivalent to GCQ with heightened restrictions.
There will be three factors. Number one, it's the hospital care utilization rate, the hospitals. Number two, the level of cases or infection in that area. And number three, the type of variant. However, the mayors, for one, are questioning certain factors. For example, San Juan. If you're going to make it as a basis of the alert level, the hospital care utilization, San Juan has one of its hospitals, or even Taguig for that matter, the premier hospitals in the Philippines. It's Cardinal Santos and it's St. Luke's. And those going there are not just residents from San Juan. They're from all over Metro Manila or even outside of Metro Manila. So it will always be full. So if you're going to make that as a basis, San Juan will always be alert level 4 or even...
But former government advisor Dr. Tony Lechon believes the shift in policy is ill-timed as fresh cases are still going up.
My main concern with the granular lockdowns, though it will not really hamper the economy, is that there's still a mobility, that's number one. There's high positivity rate, which is the highest at this point at 28%. So if we don't control, let's say, the positivity rate by reduction of the cases, then this would actually end up in the hospital and increase the healthcare utilization, which is the highest at this point also at the national level and even at the NCR. So I think the timing is just, to me, is just a little off.
Local business groups are welcoming the shift to granular lockdowns. The Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry says this is a step in the right direction. The Presidential Advisor for Entrepreneurship, Joey Concepcion, says it's high time the country tries a new approach. He adds the public must learn how to live with the virus. The Employers Confederation of the Philippines also welcoming the move. They, however, say government should also strengthen the country's healthcare system and mass transportation sector. Philippine inflation accelerates to a more than two-year high in August. The consumer price index came in at 4.9% from 4% in July, driven mainly by higher food costs. It's the highest reading since December 2018, when inflation hit 5.1%. It's also at the higher end of the Philippine Central Bank's forecast range. Governor Benjamin Diokno sees inflation falling towards the midpoint of the BSP's target next year and through 2023 as government implements measures to address supply-side pressures on key food items. Diokno also vowed to keep the central bank's current easy money policy for as long as the economy needs it. That's as one economist says faster inflation will impact the country's recovery from COVID-19.
Philippines is highly dependent on the household final consumption for growth. And whenever you have consumer prices accelerating by 4.9%, this is definitely going to shave off a good percentage from that. households are already struggling under the weight of this pandemic, and we continue to be in recession.
Less Filipinos were jobless in July. The Philippine Statistics Authority says the country's unemployment rate was at 6.9%. That's equivalent to 3.1 million unemployed persons. That's down from 3.8 million recorded in June. It's also the lowest unemployment rate since April of last year. The PSA says the industry and service sectors saw the biggest increase in employment. Underemployment in the country, meanwhile, went up to nearly 21%. More than 6% higher than what was recorded in June. The country's economic managers attribute the lower unemployment rate to relaxed lockdowns, but they add risk aversion and precautionary behavior led to more Filipinos leaving the labor force. The economic team says government will continue to strengthen healthcare, speed up vaccinations, and impose targeted lockdowns so more people can go back to work. Another big story we are following today, the effects of Typhoon Jolina. So with that, we're going to head on now to Ormoc City, where some residents were forced to evacuate due to floods brought by the weather disturbance. Our correspondent Sharon Evita now joins us on the line for an update from there. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina. Rescuers from the Philippine Coast Guard, PNP, and the City Disaster Risk Reduction Management Office had to almost risk their lives just to rescue the residents who got trapped inside their flooded homes in Sitio Haubon, Barangay San Isidro in Ormoc City. The rescuers had to wade the neck-deep waters just to reach the residents who were waiting to be rescued. Many of them are women, children, and old people who are now safe in the evacuation centers. The LGU has also started giving food packs to the evacuees. The flood was triggered after Jolina rapidly intensified into a typhoon, bringing overnight heavy rains and strong winds in eastern Visayas. In Lawaan, eastern Samar, teachers are worried after the modules they have prepared for the opening of classes this coming Monday got wet. The teachers admitted they failed to prepare as they expected the direction of the typhoon was going towards the opposite direction. Some residents along the coastal area in Lawaan town also had to be rescued as the sea level increased, reaching the roads in some houses. Local government units in the region like Tacloban City, Ormoc City, as well as the provinces of Eastern Samar, Samar, Northern Samar, and Biliran already issued an executive order suspending work in government offices and classes in schools. Back to you, Carmine.
Yeah, Sharon, just one question for you. These areas that you mentioned that were flooded due to Typhoon Jolina, are these areas traditionally flooded each time a storm passes by the area?
Carmina, in Ormoc City, the areas which are now flooded are actually flood-prone areas.
All right. And these residents, were they informed beforehand that there is a risk of flash floods because of Typhoon Jolina?
Carmina, the LGUs or the local government units have already repeatedly reminded the residents along these flood-prone areas to be prepared every time there is an upcoming typhoon. But many of the residents in Eastern Visayas, just like in Ormoc and in Lawaan, in Eastern Samar, got actually unprepared for the impact of Typhoon Jolina.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sharon Evita, there joining us on the line. Sharon, take care. Keep safe. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Philippine lawmakers demand answers from Octa Research on where it gets its funding. We'll discuss that later when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Senate will order the arrest of former presidential advisor Michael Yang for snubbing its probe into government's pandemic response deals. The Metro Manila Development Authority says the shift to granular lockdowns does not automatically mean looser COVID-19 restrictions. Parts of eastern Visayas and the Bicol region flooded due to Typhoon Jolina. Philippine inflation accelerates to 4.9% in August. And some lawmakers want the Okta Research Group to stop releasing COVID-19 related analyses until it makes public the source of its funding. Back with more news. One of the factions of the ruling PDP Laban Party will present their lineup for the 2022 elections tomorrow in Pampanga. Expected to grace the event is President Duterte, who already accepted his party mate's call to run for vice president in the upcoming poll. Senator Bongo, who is being asked by some party members to run for president, also expected to be at that event. It will be held amid issues within the party, which has now been divided into two factions. Senator Manny Pacquiao, who heads the other side, will not be part of the slate that will be presented tomorrow.
I cannot preempt what the actions or the reactions tomorrow of Senator Bongo. Okay, so there are presidential balls that are available in our pool. Now, as far as the question on the question of Manny Pacquiao, we have been inviting him, been wanting to meet with him, but unfortunately, he closed the door to us.
Members of the Makabayan Bloc flagging what they believe are lump sums under the Anti-Communist Task Force's multi-billion peso budget. And as RJ Cruz tells us, a large chunk was allocated to President Duterte's hometown.
ACT Teachers Representative Franz Castro questioned the Department of Interior and Local Government during its budget briefing at the House Appropriations Committee for doling out some 1.6 billion pesos worth of funds to some 81 barangays in the president's hometown, Davao City.
Davao City, meron pong 81 na barangays. Ito po yung 10% ng budget ng NTFL-CAC. Pwede bang maipaliwanag sa atin? Di bang sabihin, generally, sinasabi, walang kwenta ang gobyerno dito sa Davao City dahil ito po, maraming mga 81 na barangays na pinabayaan. Kasi 1.6 billion yan.
DILG Secretary Eduardo Anyo explains that in terms of land area, Davao City is bigger than the National Capital Region and has far-flung and forested areas like the Pakibato District, which has barangays under the insurgents' influence. Anyo, a former military chief, pointed out that parts of Davao were a center of gravity for the insurgency for many years before being cleared.
Ito pong mga barangay na to ay mula pa noong 1970s, 80s, 90s, ay talagang naging problema na po. So wala po tayong sinasandigan dito na pangalan ng anumang politicians o ng anumang impluensya, sapagkat ang tinutumbok natin ay per barangay po na naging tinatawag nating affected or impluensyado ng CPP-NPA.
Castro believes the appropriation may have something to do with the upcoming elections. But Anyo argues the barangays involved are hardly influential in the conduct of polls.
Ano ba to, in aid of election? Bakit nagkakaroon ng ganitong ano, no?
Ito pong mga barangay na to ay malalayong lugar at hindi po ito nagkakaroon ng influential sa election.
Before this, the Makabayan Bloc likened the National Task Force to end local communist armed conflict to pork barrel because there are lump sums under the task force's discretion.
Tinanong natin dyan kung ano yung ibig sabihin ng cleared para sa kanila. There should be requirements and there should be an assurance dapat, no? Para sa mga tao kung ano yung ibig sabihin ng cleared barangays. Wala silang pamantayan. Dahil ang sinasabi sa atin o ang sinagot sa atin, basta daw sinabi ng governor, sinabi ng mayor, and clear ng NTFL-CAC. So what does that mean? Sila tagabigay ng 20 billion sa barangay, sila din ang nagbibigay ng pamantayan, sila din ang nagsasabi kung yan ay clear o hindi. So therefore, nasa discretion nila.
Bagong fourth variant po ito, this is a new park variant that remains to be vulnerable, but very prone to misuse and abuse. Kinakailangan ng special audit nitong BDF at buong pwanto ng NTFLK.
But the DILG denies this is pork barrel, maintaining there are safeguards to make sure funds are not wasted when these are disbursed to local government units. RG Cruz, ABS-CBN News.
The budget of the Social Welfare and Development Department deferred once again by the House Appropriations Committee. That's after minority lawmakers on the panel protested the alleged red-tagging by Alan Capuyan, chairman of the National Commission on Indigenous Peoples, which is an attached agency of the DSWD. Capuyan is also the executive director of the National Task Force to End Local Armed Communist Conflict.
Dahil sa papel ni Alin Capuyan bilang LTFLCAP Executive Director habang chairperson ng NCIP, talagang may conflict of interest. Ginagampanan lang ni Capuyan ang kanyang papel bilang LTFLCAP doon sa patuloy na pangriritag at humahantong doon sa pagpatay ng mga katutubo. Bilang NCIP Chair, dapat ipagtanggol niya ang karapatan ng mga katutubo at hindi naninira at nangririntag.
The Okta Research Group should stop releasing COVID-19 related analyses until they first divulge whether or where they are getting their funding. That's according to House Deputy Speaker Lito Atienza. During a House hearing Monday, Marikina Representative Stella Kimbo revealed the Okta Research Group has a large margin of error that it claims to have when it comes to its pandemic forecast. Atienza also questioned the group's motive in releasing a political survey last month.
What was the era? Narrow propaganda airing in the front lines. Often, at this point in time, can influence the next election. A very prominent role in the fight against COVID. Bigla kang lilipat ngayon. And according to our surveys, if elections were held today, Karen Davila will run away with the presidency. Hindi na ginawa nila eh. So kung hindi natin kukorekin yan, magkakagulo-gulo pati itong ating darating na halalan.
Lawmakers are blaming Okta for making projections and recommendations that led to lockdowns in the Philippines, but the group says it is unfair to solely blame them for the community quarantines. All right, for more on this issue, we are joined by Congressman Michael Aglipay. He is the chairman of the House Committee on Good Government and Public Accountability. Congressman Aglipay, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program. I'm sorry to do this, but kindly unmute, Congressman. There you go.
Good afternoon, Carmina.
Hi. Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay.
All right, I'm going to cut to the chase here, Congressman, because during the hearing yesterday, it was you who said that you're not here to censor, not here to abridge the right to freedom of speech, but to demand accountability. But then we also heard from Congressman Lito Atienza right there, as I just read the news item, that the committee, or at least members of your committee, is asking the Okta Research Group to stop giving commentaries on the COVID situation. So what is it really? Are you asking them to stop? Is that censorship? Because you're giving us conflicting signals, Congressman.
As chairman, I cannot control other members who speak. But officially, as a Congress, as a committee on Blue Ribbon Committee, we will never censor nor abridge the right to freedom of speech. The only thing that Congress is asking is, since they are now a powerful group, that media and our people listen to them, that they be prudent and they be circumspect in issuing commentary. Commentary meaning it is not part of analysis, it is not part of interpretation. I can give two examples of those.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you, what particular commentary are you referring to? Go ahead, Congressman.
About 2 weeks ago, they issued a statement. Ranjit Rai said, officially, we are now in a surge. So I think officially, they should not use the word officially, because that should be only used when a government official from DOH or IATF speaks. but he himself used the word officially. So that is already out of bounds already from a commentary from a private group. Let us remember that OCTA research is not part of the sub-technical working group of IATF and DOH on statistics. So they should not use the word officially. And the second instance was in the middle of ECQ, on the very middle, June and August, they said, Guido David, Professor Guido David said that in his opinion, the lockdown is too loose, that the government should restrict further the movement of people. So I think that's not part of statistics. That is even not part of interpretation of figures. So that is what the committee is asking of them, that they self-discipline themselves, which the leadership of OCTA Research promised to do.
Okay, I'm going to have to be honest with you, Congressman Aglipay. I asked the OCTA Research Group to be with us today to actually tell us what happened during the hearing yesterday. And the answer I got from them is that they respectfully decline my invitation because they don't want to speak up because of what happened in the hearing and that they're being respectful of you guys. But isn't that essentially now preventing them to speak because of what happened yesterday, Congressman?
Actually, there was no order, no suggestion of not for them speaking. We're just in the same place that they said they are for the government, they respect the government, they will do whatever the government wants. And the government only wants that before they speak on opinion, on commentary, similar to what radio announcers or columnists do, they restrict it to the science. Let the science speak for itself.
To the point that you were making a while ago, the example that you first said about Professor Ranjit Rai saying that officially we're now in a surge, couldn't you have taken that as sort of rhetorical? For him to really give the public a better picture of what was happening. Go ahead.
The word officially, if you remove that, it's okay with us that he says that in our analysis, OCTA says that we are in a surge. That's acceptable. But you use the word officially, he's neither part or a member of the consultative group of the DOH and IATF. Mm-hmm. So you can't use that word. So we're analyzing why they are doing this, what are their motives. They say they want to help, and we know they want to help. But if they want to help, then they should align what they are doing with what they are saying. They are saying that they want to help the government, they want to help the people. What I'm saying is that the statements generally of OCTA, not the analysis, is overboard already because it exaggerates at times. And the instance wherein the head of the epidemiology committee of DOH said that during that time when the lockdown was ECQ, they said that it was by design that the ECQ was not that stringent because of the vaccine role. The vaccine, that people should get their vaccine and it's not that strict. So that time, it was by design that the government was doing the ECQ not as stringent as March 2020 when it first happened. So when you go against what the government is doing, that is already not acceptable to at least the Congress.
How would you differentiate what OCTA Research Group is doing from commentaries being made by other experts? For example, you have Dr. Tony Lechon, a health reform advocate, who's also been saying that some moves or steps by the government seems to be counterintuitive. You also have our very own data analytics team head, Edson Guido from ABS-CBN, who would also come out with his analyses, but also based on the figures coming from the DOH, which is also the source of the OCTA Research Group, Congressman.
Like I mentioned at the hearing yesterday, if you watch, at least for me, I've been already monitoring the polling companies before. If you watch the analysis of Dr. Mangas or Dr. Holmes of Pulse Asia, it's very different from what you see from Dr. Guido and from Ranjit Rai. It's very different in the sense that their commentary is bordering already on non-scientific. It's subjective already. It's not objective. So that is the thing where we told them our suggestion was to voluntarily adopt new policy so that we limit ourselves to the science. Because if you compare their commentary with media, it's very different from what the spokespersons of DAH are doing. So we just want to let the people know the facts, not to exaggerate the facts. Because we are already suffering. It's very well known that we are in a surge. Let's not add already undue stress to our people. And the facts, the government doesn't censor the number of cases or deaths. And it doesn't censor anybody from speaking. But let's be responsible and using the words like officially, meaning he represents the government, if you use the word officially. We are in a surge. So that is already, I think, foul.
How would you then explain the fact that many local chief executives trust the Okta Research Group and have really been listening to them? And this has this relationship has helped them in controlling the situation on the ground.
My answer to that is Okta Research was primarily organized, as I said by Mr. Rai yesterday, as a polling company in 2019, less than 2 years ago. A polling company does surveys and gives analysis on what topic we want. So these surveys are for sale. So my analysis based on what happened yesterday is they volunteered to have another group to focus on the COVID as a voluntary arm of their company to make their name known in the fastest possible time. So they have achieved that. So in turn, this part of the business, which I'm not saying they're not good. I never said that. I'm not saying they don't use scientific ways in doing their models. But as you can see, as you mentioned earlier, our resident economist, econometrician at that, Representative Stella Kimbo, showed that 78% of their projections since our pandemic started, they have a 78% margin of error, not 5% as they have stated. Mm. So, meaning the figures are exaggerated.
Mm-mm. All right. So when you look at how the discussion is going, Congressman Aglipay, there are several things here that concern you. Number one is the way the group is presenting its findings. You're saying there is no room for opinion here. If you were to look at them as a polling company, because that's what they are, then there is no room for these commentaries. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Number two, that they are a polling company and yet they also have another face, another facet to them, which is providing the public with scientific research. And number three, that their motives are questionable. I want to go into that right now. What makes you think, what is making you look into the motives behind the group?
I would not go to the extreme that it's questionable. And what I'm saying is that they're saying one thing, that therefore the government, they listen to the government, but they are doing another thing. And Stella Kimbo, Representative Kimbo of Marikina, said that he asked Professor Ranjit Rai, I think earlier this year on the Metro Manila Committee, if he is receiving funding from the government. He said yes. Yesterday in the hearing, he suddenly said no. So I think if you analyze it, they should show through their actions, if they are really for the government, they should tone down their commentary. I did not say don't give commentary, tone down. Because that commentary, Tony Lechon, I've watched it, it's acceptable. But if we use the words officially, it makes the public, you know, our citizens only when they read the newspaper or internet article, they read the headline. So when they you use the word officially, that means you are speaking officially. So yesterday he cannot explain that part.
But aren't we officially in a surge, Congressman?
Officially, we are in a surge, but let the DOH, who is well equipped with, I think, 6 mathematicians and statisticians to run models, they will say it. What I'm saying is that we should rely, they are just a third-party auditor if the government is doing its job with regards to statistics. That's if what I think.
If the government is doing its job. Yes. You do know also, Congressman, that there have been a lot of criticisms hurled the DOH's way because exactly of the information that they've been presenting the public. I've had Congressman Suntay here also saying that there seems to be a disconnect. He wants a streamlining of all these info that's being given to the public. You also heard from MMDA Chairman Benhur Abalos saying that there is a problem with the classification on alert levels regarding LGUs. So the DOH is also presenting the public some, I don't want to say questionable, but problematic data as well.
We have grilled also the 2 members of the committee, the sub-technical working group on the statistics yesterday.
Mm-mm.
Them as competent. And I was listening to their presentation. Let's not prejudge them. And I think if Okta Research is well-meaning to what they're doing, they should wait first to be officially part of that group. Because if you're not officially part of that group, then you should limit your commentary and say that you are speaking as a private analyst. And let me take note, Karen.
It's Carmina, Congressman.
Carmina, sorry. Let me take note, Carmina, that Dr. Rai should be part of the polling group, meaning polling politicians, because he's a political scientist by education and by training and by profession. He should not be part of the medical group. That's why Stella Kimbo, Representative Kimbo, one of her final questions, if not, I think yesterday's final question, she asked Carmina, Professor Rai, did you ever make a paper on public health or research on public health prior to 2020?
Mm-mm.
Answer was no.
Mm.
So we're just saying we are protecting the public because the public consumes a lot of information that we need to protect the public and help groups like this accountable because they're not part of the government. But never will we abridge the freedom of speech like what Mr. Rai is fearing.
But certainly you're also not saying for this group and other groups that may crop up in the future, you certainly are not saying or telling them to just say whatever it is that the government is saying.
No. I'm not against Tony Lechon. He's not saying same things as the government. He's saying a different tone, but he's all right. What we want is to limit within bounds of be prudent. Because you know why they started, Carmina?
Mm.
The business groups, ECOP and PCCI, wrote Congress and told them that Okta is already stepping beyond its bounds. So the speaker, with the other authors of this resolution that started this hearing, they took the cue from that.
There was another issue that was brought up by Congressman Lito Atienza, and that's the concern about their output being some sort of propaganda. What are your thoughts on that?
While I know that Deputy Speaker Lito Atienza is well-meaning, we cannot prevent any group from doing political polling because that's their job. Unless we prove that there are funders behind it or it's not done unbiased as proclaimed, then I'm for the research. They should continue their primary competency, which is political polling.
Hmm. Are you concerned, Congressman? Is the concern here, Congressman Aglipay, that they're using their scientific research as a tool to sort of help them get clients for their political polling? Is that the connection here? Because it's still not quite clear.
Your guess is as good as mine, but that is one of the theories.
And if those theory, one of the, if that theory is proven correct, what is the danger there, Congressman?
I can, as of now, I can see no danger yet. What I'm protecting is the use of commentary that is not, it's overbounds already. If I challenge anybody from OCTA or any learned person or academic member of the academy to watch a clip of Professor Holmes of Pulse Asia or Dr. Mangar Mangas of SWS, you see when they explain their data, it's very professional. I would wish that COCTA be the same, Carmina.
Hmm. All right, so where do we go from here? I understand that yesterday was not the last day of your hearing. What else do you want to find out from the group?
We want to find from the group, mainly from UP, were there funds given to members of UP that are members also of OCTA? They will give that data next hearing. And second is the promise of Doctor. I keep on saying doctor, but he's Mr. Wright, that they will give after meeting report on what they talked about at the fellows of OCTA Research on what they will do to calibrate their dealing with media or to calibrate how they do their commentary.
All right. And will you also call local chief executives to sort of also bring out the kind of relationship that they've had with the group throughout the pandemic?
Actually, we're not questioning their work. The work is good. What we're questioning, and we heard good things about them in the local governments. What we're questioning is the stepping out of bounds in already it's like policy. It can be construed as policy. When they are normal folks, are people from the provinces. When you hear somebody who speaks with a lot of data, a lot of analysis, they might think that's already just the stand of the government. So we just want to move in unison. One of the things that Deputy Speaker Atienza said that I agree with is we are now in a war, and that we must move where the general or colonels tell us to move. So they are just soldiers. So they need to move where the DOH or if you disagree with your commander, you disagree with them in private. You go to them and tell them.
Mm. And finally, Congressman Aglipay, what do you say to those who observe that you're basically stepping beyond your bounds as well, because you are basically telling a private group of individuals what to do, and you're basically putting them in their place? What do you say to that observation? That as you comment that they're out of bounds, that you are doing the same?
Our job in the Committee of Good Government and Public Accountability is to aspire for good government and to hold any entity to public accountability. So it's the other part of our committee, public accountability. We're just holding them accountable, and we are not imposing. We are suggesting, and if you've watched the meeting, Mr. Rai is saying that they will take our suggestion seriously and meet on it with his other fellows. So let's see what they say but we will never abridge their right to speak. We will never do that.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Congressman Michael Edgar Aglipa, he is the chairman of the House Committee on Good Governance and Public Accountability. We appreciate you taking our call. Thanks again. Take care. Keep safe. Thank you. Appreciate it. Moving on, Senator Sherwin Gachalian suggests abolishing two government agencies that were behind allegedly overpriced purchases of pandemic supplies. That's as he notes, most of the funds transferred to the Philippine International Trading Corporation and the procurement service of the Budget Department were unused.
Nagiging masamang habit, no? Masamang ugali na ng mga ahensya kung hindi nila magastos ang pondo, pinapasa dito sa PITC at sa DBMPS para hindi sila masabihan na low utilization. So ang ginagawa nila para sa libro nila malinis at nagagamit yung pondo, ipinapasa nila sa ibang ahensya.
Other senators have also called for the abolition of these two agencies, believing they are just being used to park billions of pesos in funds. Moving on, the U.S. hits another grim milestone with a total number of COVID-19 cases there surpassing 40 million. The U.S. remains to be the hardest hit nation of this pandemic. The country's official COVID-19 death toll is also the highest in the world at close to 650,000. Coronavirus cases had gone down earlier in the year as vaccination drives across the U.S. gained steam. However, the numbers shot up again over the past few months as vaccinations plateaued and the more transmissible Delta variant spread across America. Chile approves the use of Sinovac's COVID-19 vaccine for children over 6 years old. Chile had already approved the use of Pfizer's jab for those 12-year-old and above. More than 654,000 of them have already received at least one dose since May. Sinovac makes up the bulk of Chile's vaccination drive, with 13 million Chileans fully vaccinated with a Chinese-made jab. The latest now on Afghanistan, the Taliban insists it has completed its takeover of the country as it claims victory over the last pocket of resistance. Video released by the Taliban shows members standing in front of the Panjshir Provincial Governor's compound after fighting with the National Resistance Front of Afghanistan over the weekend. But a leader of the NRFA denies the Taliban's claim, saying opposition forces, they continue to fight. Panjshir had also been the center of resistance to previous Taliban government 2 decades ago. Back here at home, Typhoon Jolina makes its fifth landfall over the Masalang Masbate. Heavy rainfall warnings up in several parts of the province. Let's now get the latest from PAGASA weather forecaster Ezra Fulgarin. Ezra, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Jolina has made landfall over the Masalang Masbate and is now traversing over the mainland Masbate. The center of the eye of Typhoon Jolina was estimated based on all available data in the vicinity of the Masalang Masbate. It has maximum sustained winds of up to 120 kilometers per hour near the center and gustiness of up to 150 kilometers per hour. It is now moving west-northwest at the speed of 15 kilometers per hour. So as of today, in the next 12 hours, Jolina will continue to move generally west-northwestward, traversing Masbate and Ragay Gulf before making another landfall in the vicinity of southeastern Quezon tonight or tomorrow early morning. It will then briefly emerge over Lopez Bay before making landfall in the vicinity of northern Quezon. Throughout the remainder of tomorrow and into Thursday morning, the tropical cyclone is forecast to cross central Luzon, roughly to the east and north of Metro Manila, which will have frictional effects during its traverse over Luzon landmass and will weaken Jolina down to tropical storm category. So basically, in the next 24 hours, in terms of heavy rainfall, heavy to intense with at times torrential rains will be experienced over Masbate, Leyte, Biliran, Samar, Northern Samar, Sorsogon, Albay, Catanduanes, Camarines Provinces, Southern Quezon, Romblon, and Marinduque, and then moderate to heavy, with at times intense rains will be experienced over Mindoro and the rest of Calabarzon and Visayas. So as for the precautions, considering these developments, the Public and Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Offices concerned are advised to take all necessary measures to protect life and property. And that's the latest here in weather forecasting section. Ezra Bulcrin, good afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Ezra. Ezra Fulgarin there of State Weather Bureau Pagasa joining us, you and the rest of the team there. Thanks for all that you do. Keep safe. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. We now go back to the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing on government's use of pandemic response funds.